Please be seated. You'll turn back to Genesis chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44. We want to think this morning of one phrase found in this chapter. Your servant became a pledge. Your servant became a pledge. We find that in verse 32. Genesis 44 picks up on the account of Joseph's brothers preparing to leave Egypt for the second time. Grain has been packed into their sacks. It's been loaded onto their donkeys. And now in the early light of the morning, they set off back up home to Canaan. Their mood this time is very different to when they left Egypt the first time. On the previous occasion, they were heading home without one of their brothers. Simeon had been kept back in prison in Egypt. They were going home knowing that they would have to return with Benjamin. And they knew that this wouldn't be viewed favorably by their father Jacob. Their first journey back home was filled with tension at the thought of having to go back to Egypt. But this journey home is filled with thoughts of the happiness from the night before. It was filled with the knowledge that all 11 brothers are returning, including Benjamin. Was a journey that had been relieved of the crushing burden of fear and trepidation of the trip down to Egypt. It was a journey that would be filled with stories from the previous night that would then be related later on to their father Jacob. Full sacks of grain, returning home together, filled tummies from the night before. How happy, how relieved, and how excited would these brothers have been? But we're told they're only a short distance outside of the city when the steward of Joseph's house, along with his men, overtake them. This joyous return home is going to be cut short. The brothers are going to find themselves back in front of Joseph and facing a terrifying situation. Yet what happens next is possibly one of the most moving episodes in the Old Testament. And we have one of the most startling statements made by one of the brothers. Judah is going to step forward as a pledge for his youngest brother. Judah is going to declare that his life has been put down as a surety or a guarantee for his little brother. Judah is the one willing and ready to be a substitute for Benjamin. This morning, as we listen to Judah, as we hear his words concerning his life as a guarantee, we are to hear the words of someone who would come from his family line. As we listen to the words of Judah, we should be listening for the words of the Lion of Judah, the stump of Jesse from the line of Judah, the promised seed from the line of Judah, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. It is Judah's words that point us to Christ. Your servant became a pledge. Your servant became a pledge. Let's look at chapter 44. And the first thing I want us to see is the test given to Judah. The test given to Judah. Joseph has, of course, set this whole thing up. He's commanded his steward to put his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. He's told the steward exactly what to say. And so on reaching the brothers, the steward stops and he says, "Why have you repaid evil for good? You have done evil." The brothers are astounded and astonished at this accusation. And so one of them replies, "Whichever of your servants is found with it shall die, and we also will be my Lord's servants." We don't know which brother said this. It's a rather rash reply, but it's one that's made nonetheless. The steward makes it clear that only the one who is found with the silver cup will be punished. So one by one they lower their sacks, they open them up, and the steward, beginning with Reuben, then going on to Simeon, then Levi, then Judah, then on down through the brothers, eventually comes to Benjamin's sack. And there, in the youngest brother's sack, is the silver cup. They all return to Joseph's house. And there, before Joseph, it is Judah who speaks up. Look at verse 14. "When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house." Judah isn't the oldest. It's Reuben, then Simeon, and Levi. But as we have seen, as we have looked through these chapters, Judah is coming forward as the leader of the brothers. And so Judah speaks up. "We are my Lord's servants, both we and he also in whose hand the cup has been found." But Joseph, like the steward, makes it clear that it's only the man in whose hand the cup was found will be his servant. The rest are free to go in peace. The test has been set. Joseph, in his actions, is testing all of these brothers. And we're going to see if they are changed men. Are they really different? The guilt that they had beforehand, it was there when they were in danger, when it wasn't easy on them. The guilt that they experienced on the first journey down, it could be just because their lives were in danger. But now, there's a get-out clause. You don't need to feel guilty. Joseph says to them, "You can go free. You can go in peace." Is it real guilt that they've had? Or do they truly love their brother? They could leave as free men. They could be rid of Benjamin as well. But what are they going to do? We'll look at these brothers, which includes Judah at this stage. When the silver cup is discovered in Benjamin's sack, what is it they do? Look at verse 13. They tore their clothes. It's easy just to quickly brush over these words, but this is real anguish. This is grief. This is sorrow at the thought of losing Benjamin. There is sorrow. There's sadness. There's grief. Judah himself. Judah is ready to identify himself with Benjamin, along with the other brothers. "We are your servants. We all, each and every one of us, we are included in his guilt." Judah says, "God has found out the guilt of your servants." It's interesting that Joseph, in his test, has used this silver cup. We're told that it's a cup that he drank from, but also it's a cup that, in Egyptian use, could have been used for divination, for looking into the future, for finding answers to hidden questions, to understand the meaning of things. We have no reason to suspect that Joseph used it for that. He had to say to the steward, "Say it's for this. Tell them that I use it for this." Joseph says in verse 15, "Do you not know that a man like me can indeed practice divination?" But Judah's response, God has found out the guilt. It is God who sees. Here is a man who has changed. Here is a man who is ready to tell the truth. The brothers are grieved and in sorrow that Benjamin has been found with this cup. They identify themselves with Benjamin. We all, each and every one of us, we are guilty. Judas states that it is God who has found out the guilt. We see also that the brothers are circling around Benjamin, that they're ready to protect him. When Benjamin's life is in danger, the brothers are not going to let him go. How different this is to a previous occasion when they were ready to kill a brother and sell a brother. Years before, they ignored the cries of a brother, but now these men stand at their brother's side. Also within this test, look at the love that Judah has for his father. His concern is also for his father's well-being. 14 times he mentions his father. How can I let my father mourn the loss of the son he loves? How can I be responsible for causing my father to go down to the grave in sorrow? I can't do that to my father. What a change in Judah. This test of Joseph, the actions of Joseph, they are showing that the hearts of these men are changed, and in particular, the heart of Judah. Grace has come into his life. This scheme of Joseph, it shows that God is dealing with the promised family. Judah is the servant. Judah is the lowly one. Judah is the one ready to take his stand. His character is being revealed. Judah is the man who has experienced grace. The test given to Judah. And then, secondly, and in more detail, the plea made by Judah. The plea made by Judah. Verses 18 to 34. This is Judah's speech, or his plea to Joseph. And it's at this point that we see just how much of a changed man Judah is. God's work in his life has been thoroughgoing. He's willing to be a substitute for Benjamin. This is the first part of his plea. He's willing to be a substitute for Benjamin. Verse 33. "Please let your servant remain instead of the boy." Judah is putting himself in the place of Benjamin, the guilty party. Judah is stepping forward, and Judah is saying, "I am ready to give up my freedom, my privileges. I am ready to hand them over so that Benjamin can be set free." Look at Judah's willingness to do this. He speaks of the family in verse 20. "Our father, an old man, and this young brother are all that our father has left. His father loves him." His father loves him. He is all that our father has left. Judah isn't just willing to give up his freedom for Benjamin. But now Judah is saying, it's as if I am even outside of the family. It's as if his father Jacob has only two children and one is no more. Judah is speaking as though he's not included. There's no self-importance in Judah's words. There's no putting himself first. There isn't even a thought for himself within the family. This is a willing, humble substitute. And what he is doing is he is stepping forward for the one that the Father loves. He's willing to give himself for the one that the Father loves. Let your servant remain instead of the boy. Let me take his place. Judah is a willing substitute for Benjamin. We see here that Judah is a willing substitute for Benjamin because of a pledge he made with his father. Because of a pledge that he made with his father. Verse 32, our key verse. For your servant became a pledge of safety for the boy. This isn't the first pledge that Judah has made. Back in Genesis 38, he made a pledge to Tamar. He was under the illusion that Tamar was a prostitute. This was his daughter-in-law. And he said that he would pay her the price of a young goat for the night that they spent together. Tamar asked for a pledge. What is the guarantee that you will make the payment? What is the proof? What is the surety that I will receive this payment? And so Judah handed over his signet, his cord, and his staff. Some people describe this as handing over his wallet, keys, and credit card. He hands over his identification, his personal identification. He hands over what can be linked back to him. Here we have another pledge, and we are to see a contrast. What is Judah handing over that will guarantee the safety of Benjamin? What is Judah putting down as the pledge that will guarantee that Benjamin will be brought back to his father? It's his life. It's everything. This time he says, my life is the pledge. My life is the guarantee that Benjamin will be kept safe. Judah is saying to Joseph, you see, I have entered into a covenant with my father. And my life is the guarantee that I will fulfill the promises that I have made, the vows that I have made. My life is the surety for Benjamin. You see, you can't take him. You're not allowed to keep him. Because I have already made a promise. And it's guaranteed and it's secured by my very life. You have to take me in his place. Because I have made a promise to the Father who loves him. Judah says, how can I return to my father without the one he loves? I can't do that. There's a promise that must be kept. And his life is the pledge. It's the guarantee of that promise. Joseph is listening to these words. And this plea from Judah is enough to break Joseph's heart. He can't control himself. His emotions overflow right there in front of the brothers. This pledge made by Judah, it's significant in Scripture. We often talk about the story of Joseph, but it isn't really. If you remember back to chapter 37, what is it that we're looking at? The sons of Jacob. It's the story of the sons of Jacob, and in particular, it's the story of one son, the one through whom the promises will come, Judah. Remember what we considered in chapter 38, that awful scene, that horrendous wickedness, and yet Judah is going to be the promised line. God's grace, it's Judah we're looking at, and he has made a pledge for the safety for Benjamin. Later on in Israel's history, the tribe of Benjamin, when they go into the promised land, where are they going to take up their possession? Beside Judah. Little Benjamin, under the protection of Judah. Isn't that remarkable? King David came from the tribe of Judah. King Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Why would David not lift up his hand against King Saul? Part of it is because of the pledge of Judah. Later on, after the reign of Solomon, when the kingdom split north and south, we have Israel in the north. What kingdoms are there in the south? Judah and little Benjamin, still under the protective wings of Judah because of the pledge. Judah's pledge is still in force, watching over and protecting Benjamin. But ultimately, this pledge points us to the offspring of Judah, the stump of Jesse from the tribe of Judah. It points us to the Lion of Judah himself, Jesus Christ. It's the promised seed. It's the Messiah's words. I have become a pledge. He is the one who's made a pledge. And Judah's pledge, it's just a shadow of it. This pledge was made in the eternal covenant between Father, Son, and Spirit. And God the Son, in that eternal plan, said, I will be the pledge. My life will be the surety for the ones that you love. My life for their life. Jesus Christ was willing, and he did give up the glories of heaven. And he did it so that we could be set free, so that we could be brought back to our Father in heaven. And where we deserve punishment, where we are guilty, it is the Son, it is Jesus Christ who stepped forward as the substitute for us. He's the one who stepped in. He's the one who has said, my life for their life. Judah never had to give his life for Benjamin. But Jesus Christ did have to give his life for us. And there at the cross, we can look and we can say, he is the pledge. He is the guarantee. He is the surety that we might be forgiven, that we might have life. And that pledge has been raised from the dead. And that pledge is seated at the right hand of God the Father. But that work is still on display, his nail-pierced hands. And they bear witness before the Father, my life for their life. There before the Father, the Lion of Judah says, "Your servant became a pledge." And as God the Father looks on, and as he sees God the Son, he sees the pledge that has been given, the guarantee of our salvation, the price that's been paid. And it bears testimony to the wonderful truth that for all who are in Christ, we will be with the Father. Judah says, "How can I go back to my Father if the one he loves is not with me?" How could Jesus Christ go back to the Father if he was not going to bring with him the ones that the Father loves? He can't do that. He will bring us with him. And friends, this morning, these words should break our hearts in some ways. As Joseph listened to Judah offering himself as the substitute and pledge for his brother, we hear the words of our brother, Jesus Christ, and listen to what he has done for you. Your servant became a pledge. He is the guarantee of our salvation. And we, like little Benjamin, we fall under the shadow of his wings. We come under his care and his keeping. And we know for certain, because he's been raised from the dead and because the pledge is there before the Father, we know for certain that he will bring us to the Father. How could I go to the Father if the ones he loves are not with me? As we look on at Judah this morning, I want us to hear the words of Jesus Christ. I want us to see this morning the wonderful thing that Christ has done in being our pledge, in being the one who's giving his life for our salvation as a guarantee for us. I want us to know that in Christ we find our refuge. In Christ we find our strength. In Christ we find our protection. Because he has paid the vows that he has made. Your servant became a pledge. Amen.